What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, March 9th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrew Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Monster Hunter. You know it. I know it. The American people know it.
It's very good.
How you been?
I've been well.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's been a very jam-packed week.
It's been a bad week. Not a bad week, but it's been a long week. Correct?
Yes.
Correct me if
I'm
wrong.
Very long.
I woke up on Wednesday and I could not believe it was only Wednesday. And the amount of how tired I am, the sleep deficit I'm working with, I'm sure it's just as bad for you over at What's Good Games.
Agreed. Yeah. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of games that I've been trying to squeeze in.
Yeah.
Because as you can attest, Monster Hunter has been taking over my life, but I had to play some other stuff this week. So I played Florence, loved it, talked about it on the show. It's out today. Played some Moss.
Yeah. Oh, did you beat? Oh, Moss. I love Moss. I
haven't beat it yet. Okay. But
are you enjoying your time with Moss?
Yes.
Because you're not the biggest virtual reality person,
no,
right?
No. And playing again reminded me why I don't play.
Ooh.
But it's a testament to Moss and the amazing work that Polyarc has done that I want to go back and keep playing.
Interesting. Are you getting sick? Is that why you don't play?
I get nauseous quite a bit in VR.
Sure.
But I also, because I have a relatively small head, I have to like really clamp the...
Sure. The cranking the PlayStation VR in.
Yeah, because otherwise it falls down my face and then everything goes out of focus.
Sure.
And then when you have the headphones on over that, it's just a lot of weight on your face. And so I played Moss for about an hour and a half.
Okay.
And then I had to take a break because my head was really starting
to hurt.
You're
getting like neck strain. You're getting clamped on headache. Your neck's holding up 3 extra pounds.
Yeah, it's too much. And this is, and then, you know, my phone, all the notifications are going off because it's the middle of a work day. And so like emails and stuff are coming in. And so the hard part, you know, about VR is like you can't really multitask unless you're constantly pulling the
But that's one of the fun things about it,
your face.
Feel, right? Like I love that VR does actually do the thing of force me not to look at anything else, or because even movies, right? In a movie theater, it happens in every movie. Somebody starts coughing or looking at their phone, and I'm like, you motherfucker. And then I'm no longer thinking about the movie. I'm thinking about this asshole.
In a movie, I never bring my phone out.
Oh, no, not me. I'm saying someone around me is influencing my
experience.
There's
always
that
one jerk that has to look at their Twitter notifications in the middle of the movie.
You yell at them?
If they're close enough, yeah.
Good. Okay, good. I
have no hesitation.
Good
you gotta,
job.
You
got to
nip it in the bud right away because otherwise they're going to be checking their phone throughout the rest of the movie. It's like people who like are in the airport and have videos on their phone that they're just blaring without headphones. You got to shut that down right away because otherwise they're going to be a nuisance the entire flight.
Yeah, 100% on that one too. How do you feel about people walking with and FaceTiming to somebody and talking to them?
You know, at first, I did not like that.
I'm
and then
you.
Somebody made a very compelling argument.
It's just like you and me talking.
Exactly.
And then you're like, fuck, it is, I guess.
Because I was at a bar on a work trip, and a guy down, a couple seats down, was FaceTiming with someone, and I was like getting all irritated, being like, and then somebody was like, well, what if the person was just sitting next to him? They'd still be talking. And I was like, damn it, that's a really good argument.
Yeah, yeah.
So I stopped caring about that as much.
Okay, yeah. I'm with you on that, but I feel like I've got to get over it. I'm working on getting over it.
Yeah.
It's just that it's new, so it's different, so it feels foreign and weird.
Exactly.
Come on. Don't do that, but I can't really argue about it.
Traveling in general just makes us all a little cranky.
Sure. So. Yeah. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, with your questions about the news, your comments about the news, your concerns, whatever you want to talk about under the video game sun. Then you can watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, we have a special job for you. You have to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe, which now includes Spotify. Housekeeping for you. We are fewer than 500 subs away from 230,000 subs on youtube.com/kindoffunny. Please go over there and sub, even if you never plan to watch a video. We don't care. Make another Google account. Subscribe with that one. Just get it done and I'll stop talking about it. Then, it's worth telling you that this month's fan mail tier, which will ship in April, will be a birthday card for me. That's on patreon.com/kindoffunny and patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to celebrate my birthday next month. I'll be sending you a birthday card, personalized. Why not get on that? Andrew?
Yes, Greg.
What's good on What's Good Games today? You have a new podcast up.
Yes, we do. So in addition to the games I already mentioned, Steimer talks more about Persona 5 with Alana Pierce. IGN's Alana Pierce is our guest this week. She is a lovely person who talks about how she got started in games in Australia and about this.
Those honkings are here too.
And she talks to us about some of her favorite games, and we run down the news with her, and she kind of gives us the insight as to what she does over at IGN and kind of her career path there.
Sure.
So she's great. If you guys don't or haven't watched any of the shows that she's on over there, please come check it out.
Yeah. And then, of course, we're brought to you by MeUndies, but I'll tell you more about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. It's a stacked episode. 7 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Now, number one, of course, is the Nintendo Direct.
Yes.
Which I don't know how much we need to talk about, but we'll talk about it. Because I almost left it off entirely, and I was like, oh, wait, because I was like, I feel like I'm missing big news. And I was like, oh, right.
There's
everything
lot.
From the Direct that happened yesterday afternoon that we talked about ad nauseum on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can watch the reaction there. And then we did a Gamescast where we talked a little bit about it. That's live on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But I figure here, we have to go through it, right,
Oh,
Andrea?
We absolutely do for all of our thousands of podcast subscribers out there who did not watch the videos from yesterday. They need to get caught up, Greg.
They do. So I'm going to run you through it chronologically. This is what happened. Here are the announcements. Here are the dates. Here's everything that happened. They started with the Nintendo 3DS. WarioWare Gold is coming out August 3rd. Dylan's whatever the fuck it's called is coming out May 24th.
I can't believe you put whatever the fuck on the road.
Because it was
notes.
When I was doing the notes while I was doing it, I'm like, I don't know what this game is, and Tim knew what it was. Mario & Luigi Inside Story and Bowser Jr. Is coming out in 2019. Detective Pikachu comes out March 23rd. They're getting a Luigi Mansion remake this year. Again, these are all 3DS games. WTF Nintendo. However, let's talk about the Switch. They started with Kirby. Of course, it's out next week on the 16th. The 28th of March will be the first major update. Okami HD is coming this summer. Sushi Striker is coming June 8th. Octopath Traveler appears to be just Octopath Traveler. The working title is now the title because we all know it is that. But it got a release date, July 13th, 2018. Travis Strikes Again is coming this year. Dark Souls Remastered is getting a network test soon. It's getting an amiibo of the guy who praises the sun, and it's all coming out May 25th. Mario Tennis Aces coming out June 22nd. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker is coming out July 13th. Fuck yes. Undertale is coming to the Nintendo Switch when it's ready. Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy is coming July 10th. Little Nightmares comes out May 18th. South Park The Fractured But Whole comes out April 24th. Hyrule Warriors comes out May 18th. ARMS is getting a US and Canadian online open March 8th through the 18th with the finale on March 31st. Splatoon 2 is getting V3.0 late April. Then there's an expansion coming in the summer for $20. And then, of course, the big one, Super Smash Brothers, is coming in 2018. It features the Inklings, and Sakurai has confirmed since the Nintendo Direct that he is working on it, because that was the big hullabaloo afterwards. Is it just going to be Super Smash Brothers Wii U Deluxe over on Switch? Is it going to be a new game? They showed, of course, you've seen it, I know. I would like to think you have. Maybe you're just driving your tractor right now and you haven't. You know, Inklings are running around, goes to darkness. They turn around. It's awesome. It's the thumbnail for this episode. Smash Brothers logo in the eye. They look over there. It's the outline of Mario. It's the silhouette of Link from Breath of the Wild. And then a whole bunch of other characters there, too. Some obvious, like Donkey Kong and Samus. Those sirens are here. Do not pull over to the side of the road unless there is also an ambulance or something behind you as well. Andrea.
Yes.
What did you think of the Nintendo Direct?
Well, I didn't watch it.
You fanboy. You know what I mean? There was a funny, I think it was good spirited.
I was busy editing the show for today. I had some technical issues, and so the edit took me a little bit longer than normal. So I didn't, by the time I stopped to take a break to get some water, I like saw Britt like water. Tweeting about it, and I was like, oh, dang it, I missed the direct.
Yeah.
But when you edit stuff, sometimes you kind of get into your own little wormhole. But I think this was a nice full direct. It had a lot of release dates. Yeah. It had a bunch of games that people were hoping for updates on. I think it's great that they finally confirmed that Smash is coming.
Yes.
I thought it was a little fun / silly that so many people lost their minds over the Smash announcement, because we knew a Smash announcement was coming, right? Like,
you knew eventually Smash would come to Switch, yes.
Right.
But did you know it was going to be this direct? Did we know it would? Is it later in the life cycle? Is it just? I think it was that was the main concern of. Mm-hmm. Especially being Nintendo fans and watching directs and constantly having your heart broken, as it seems to happen every time
right.
people hype themselves up, that I think people start trying to temper their expectations. And, you know, the rumors were that we were going to get, you know, the Luigi Mansion Mario Odyssey World, which I was like, that would be phenomenal. I would love that to get announced. And then there was other stuff of maybe they end on Animal Crossing. There was all this rumor and scuttlebutt around that you never know, but I think people hoped for Smash but didn't want to actually think it would happen.
Yeah.
I think the other big thing is that it's 2018. But again, this all comes down to what version of the game are we getting? Which is why I kick it over to Ralph from Chicago, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hi, KFGD crew. I think the only appropriate question today is Smash Brothers, new game report. I've seen many arguments for both sides, so I wanted your opinion. For context, Smash 4 on Wii U released September 13th, 2014. Thank you for your amazing work, Ralph from Chicago. Cool, Greg, grab Tim Geddes too, because I'm going to want him to chime in on this.
Mario Kart 8, also released in 2014, and we didn't get a brand new Mario Kart for Switch. Granted, it did come out last year, so the window was a little bit shorter. But the tuning that needs to happen in a fighting game like Smash is more complicated. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to lean towards this is going to be a deluxe.
I feel like that's the only thing that makes sense, because Mario Kart 8 is a great example of it, I feel. Because exactly as you're saying, right, Mario Kart had a similar window and added DLC and added characters and did this stuff. But that's the way. Tim, I want to know, are we getting... And so does Ralph from Chicago, by the way. Where? No, come to me. You come to me. Don't worry about it. What? Why?
No, I'm not going to make it all. I always used to give my microphone, and then he would always go to your side, so I just stopped.
Well, I'll go back over there and do cool. Is it going to be long enough? You think, like it was on Gary's episode, where I need to go to the Kevin Cam, sure. The cool Greg. Yeah. I don't know. Cool Greg, pull up Kevin Cam. I want to know what's happening. Is this what Smash Brothers? You've had about 24 hours. Yeah. Is it a port or is it a new game?
So yesterday we recorded our Gamescast where the headline of the video is predicting what Smash Bros. Is going to be, and it's totally outdated now.
Yeah, right?
We still make a lot of good predictions in it and stuff, and we talk about characters, but now that I know that Sakurai is directing the game and is involved, everything changes for me. This game is going to be substantial. It's not going to be just a port. I do think that it's going to be from the same engine and stuff, but guess what? That's video games. Like, video games don't use a different engine every single time for sequels. I think it's going to be very similar to Splatoon 2. It's going to be more similar to Splatoon 2 than it is to Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Okay, so when you say that, are you meaning that we're going to get an extensive change to the roster? We're going to get a really big addition as far as like the stages go? Like, yep. What does that mean for you?
I imagine we're going to get a lot of new stages, a couple new characters. They're at the point where the roster is so big for any fighting game. I mean, over 50, that's ridiculous, especially when you start to consider balance updates and like the competitive nature of Smash Brothers. So I don't see too many new characters. I'm really hoping characters don't get cut. That's the biggest fear that I have going into this. But I think there'll be a lot of new stages. There will be new stages, and I feel that because seeing Breath of the Wild Link like really tells me that, like, okay, for the first time ever in Smash Brothers, we're going to get stages and stuff based on this generation's games. I know Breath of the Wild is also a Wii U game, so I guess that does get a little dicey. But when we look back to Brawl, that's when we saw Sunshine levels, which was the GameCube iteration of Mario. We didn't see Galaxy levels, right? Even though the game came out after Galaxy.
This is going to be contemporary, is what you're
saying. It's the first time we're getting contemporary stuff, and I think we're going to see Breath of the Wild stuff, and I do think that there's going to be a New Donk City level. So I think that this is going to be pretty substantial. I mean, again, it's not going to be I think it's going to be a smaller jump than we've ever seen in Smash Brothers, but I still think it's going to be a big one.
So you were saying Splatoon 2-esque, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And for somebody who didn't play a lot of Splatoon 2, you mean what? That it's still the same base game, but there's enough new stuff to indicate that it could be called 2?
That if you don't know the game and you look at it, you're like, oh, that's just a port.
Okay.
But it's like, if you do know the game, it's like, it's absolutely not a port. There's way more content, and it's totally different levels, totally different items and gear and all this stuff. It's like, it's a different game, but
I never
someone
considered
that doesn't
Splatoon
know,
2 a port.
But
it was the confusion of an announcement.
Yeah.
An announcement, when they said it, I remember looking at it like, that looks like Splatoon. Are they just calling it Splatoon 2 rather than Splatoon Deluxe?
Because, like, if you remember when the Switch first was revealed in that, like, quick hype trailer, we just saw footage of random games, and we saw footage of Splatoon, and it looked just like Splatoon, in the same way that we saw Mario Kart, and it was like, that looks exactly like Mario Kart 8, except there's two items instead of one. And so it's like, there was like that weird question of, there was, and we saw Odyssey for the first time, but we didn't know the name. And then it wasn't until the January presentation they did in Japan that they were like, here's the names of these things. And it was like, okay, Mario Kart 8 is a port, an enhanced port, and Splatoon is a true sequel. And so I think it's just gonna be called Super Smash Brothers. The ultimate troll move would be Super Smash Brothers Battle Royale.
I don't think they're gonna do that.
Yeah, no. I think it's just gonna be Super Smash Brothers.
So what are your hype levels now that Sakurai confirms he is working
through the fucking roof?
Yeah,
Sakurai is my favorite game developer ever, and
you've met Tim Schafer.
Yes, I have met Tim Schafer, and I love Tim Schafer, but his work ethic, the way that he makes games, what he cares about putting into games, is to me on another level.
Okay,
and having him be involved in the Smash, and his tweet that is very hard to understand.
Yeah, I didn't bother. You came in and pointed it out to me today through Reset Era. It's got a wonky translation, but basically it is, I'm working on this game.
So you didn't talk about it.
I confirmed that he's in it. I said that since announcement, he has confirmed that he is working on this game.
Sakurai confirmed,
but I didn't bother reading the broken English that didn't work out.
He confirmed that he's Google working Translate. On the game and has been working on the game.
Okay.
Tirelessly. Which is classic Sakurai fashion. And it sounds like he's been working on it since the DLC for Smash Wii U ended.
Okay.
So there's been a long time of working on this game, and they already have the skeleton for it, I think we're going to get something really good.
When do you think we get it?
So that's a big question. Sakurai working on it means it might not make 2018. We need to start wrapping our heads around that right now.
I refuse to do that.
I'm hoping for September alongside the online services. I think that's lofty.
I don't know why, though, Nintendo would come out with a date when they easily could have just used the Super Smash Bros. Logo without a date at all, and the hype would not have been any less.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Smash Wii U didn't get delayed. It just took forever to come out.
Question for you.
Brawl did get delayed.
Sorry, everybody.
After it had a release date.
Mr. Geddes, Greg Miller from kindoffunny.com. So far, have any of the Switch games, major Switch games, been delayed?
Because not a single Nintendo Switch game has been delayed.
Because that was the big thing I remember last year when they announced everything, right? We're like, well, it'll be interesting to see what slips, and nothing
and
slipped.
And Xenoblade Chronicles 2 made it, which was absolutely shocking to me. So far, so good. We're now hitting a point where last year there was like about one major Nintendo release a month. Mm. We're at the point now with this year, with 2018, we're looking at it. We have about two a month with all the release dates we know. So there's a lot more chances for things to slip up. But a lot of these are ports, so I don't think that they're at risk. But Sakurai working on Smash, it's like, I would not be surprised if he goes in over his head and we get a release date that is... I think that they're going to target that Mario Odyssey right before Black Friday time. Mm-hmm. Like, late October, I think, is the sweet spot. Put Smash out, get the amiibo going, put all that stuff, and then it'll just destroy the holidays.
Do they fear Red Dead?
No.
Nintendo? Smash fears nothing.
No. How disappointed will you be if it is Smash Deluxe?
Not disappointed at all.
Okay.
Not
That's
at
good.
All. I love it's so good. It's like that's my thing, is I'm almost scared if they change too much. It's like, I want Smash Wii U is fantastic. The roster is fantastic. Like, I want just more of that. Like, not, and if they change it up, there's going to be casualties.
This is the same thing as Mario Kart Deluxe, right? That sold gangbuster numbers in the fact that nobody liked their Wii U, and the people who did like it on Wii U like it enough that they definitely want to play with it more content. Like, Smash on Wii U is definitely the Smash I've played the least. And I know that I'm not the card-carrying Nintendo fanboy. You are, Tim. But, and I don't even have the lineage. I'm not even using it as an insulting way.
I mean, I'm fucking... I
think he wears it with a badge of honor now.
Just fanboy has a connotation for everybody. But I've played the shit out of just about every Smash except that one because I just didn't do it. So, but I know playing it with you for Let's Plays, I'm like, yeah, this is the best one. Can't wait for it to be with me all the time, and we can just sit here and like we'd have 10 minutes before a show.
And that's the other thing too, is the whole port conversation, is it a port, is it a sequel? It gets complicated because the power differential between the Wii U and Switch is not much. So there is a difference.
Also, but how confident are you that Nintendo's going to be able to nail their online service, which is supposed to launch in its full form in September? Seems to me like that would be a good time to launch Smash, is right alongside when that goes live.
I guarantee that is their goal. I guarantee that there's conversations where they're like, can we do this? And I think that they're being real. And I'm just making this all up, but I imagine that they're like, we got to be realistic about this. We're not going to make that. So a late October makes more sense.
And I thought yesterday on the Gamescast, somebody brought up the point too, that like, with all due respect, are we expecting the Nintendo Switch online program in September to launch and work flawlessly? Do you want to launch it alongside your biggest online game, or do you want to put it out there and just have people work through any issues so that, not to mention, when you do release Smash, it's still going to be a garbage truck on fire. You're still going to have problems all
that, that's my thing. Jared was bringing that up, and I didn't really argue with him on it, but I was thinking, I'm just like, that, it doesn't make sense to me because I mean, the Nintendo already has online, like Mario Kart's online, ARMS is online, and this service is just going to be a pretty, nothing's really going to change. If anything, it's just going to give you more fun features and shit. Like they originally the online was supposed to come out earlier, like around ARMS. Right. And then they're like, oh, fuck it. I guess it's free now. So it's like, it's going to be as good as that online infrastructure.
Okay. Fair. Tim, before I let you go, we have one more question about the Direct.
Does it involve Crash Bandicoot?
Kind of, if you want to make it about Crash Bandicoot. Hella Nutella writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what's good, Greg and Andrea? And now Tim. Happy Friday to you three. The first content of Kinda Funny I watched on YouTube was Gamescast Episode 5 with Andrea Renee. I thought to myself, who is this woman and where else can I find her content? Needless to say, I'm a big fan of both Kinda Funny and What's Good Games. So thank you all for all that you do.
Thank you.
My question is this. With the Nintendo Direct setting the interweb of, he's using colorful language here, aflame, what are you most excited about other than Smash? I am most excited for Octopath Traveler and will be re-upping my Gamers Club for that rare day one purchase. Have a splendid weekend. With sincerity, Hella Nutella, Jay.
In a rare instance, my answer is not Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no. I mean, I already have
son.
That's just more of a cool thing to have portably, but I mean, the definitive version is PlayStation. Project Octopath. I'm also really hyped to replay Captain Toad and New Captain Toad. Yes. It's very exciting to me.
Yes, Captain Toad.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew?
I actually never played it on Wii U, so.
You're in for a treat.
Here we go.
Wahoo.
You're all sleeping on Mario Tennis Aces.
Ooh.
That's my answer.
Ooh, you're right. Eh. I can't put that above Project Octopath.
I understand you big so dork. But I'm just saying, Mario Tennis, that's the one. That's the one that's going to be the jam.
I want to say something.
That's Sushi Striker.
I was listening a little bit when you were in there, when I was in there of you guys talking, and you were saying that, you know, the Nintendo Directs, it's like, we get really hyped and they're disappointed. I just want to point out that those times are gone. Like, since I want everybody to realize we're in it's a new world order here, and since the January presentation last year, every Direct has been killer.
But what I meant, remember, the question was phrased from Andrea of like, is it really that big of a surprise about Smash?
It is.
And I'm saying that for your expectation level, you come into a Direct and are you you hope for Smash every time, but then it doesn't happen. It so you're like, eh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But I do feel like there are the lofty, big, like, oh my God, I want a new Zelda and Smash and Retro's game and Metroid and all that stuff.
Animal Crossing.
Being realistic with how often these Directs happen. And yeah, Animal Crossing is another one. It's like, they're really like kind of like, when you look at everything that was shown in this, like Luigi's Mansion's relevant. That's nuts to me that like they're still.
Put it on Switch, you cowards. Fuck that. No, it's a great game. I just want it on Switch. I don't want to carry my damn 3DS around. Andrea, tell them about What's Good or something while I walk back over and cool
Greg
figures out.
My co-host on What's Good at Blonde Nerd tweeted Alolan Executor in the next Smash or I Riot, which I thought was pretty funny. Brittany.
No, who in the next Smash or I Riot?
The Alolan Executor.
I have no idea who that is. Nope.
It's like one of the special Pokemon from the. Never mind.
it's one of the Pokemon from the island Pokemon.
Yes.
Yaman Pokemon. That's what they call it.
The Alola region.
Whatever. You know what I mean? Just making up a bunch of fucking snakes and giving them new names. Next on the Roper Report.
It's true.
Fortnite is going to be fucking everywhere. This is their official statement. Fortnite Battle Royale is coming to mobile devices. On phones and tablets, Fortnite is the same 100-player game you know from PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, and Mac. Same gameplay, same map, same content, same weekly updates. Starting Monday, you can sign up for the invite event on iOS. Support for Android will be coming in the next few months. Now here's where it gets fucking nuts. In partnership with our friends at Sony, Fortnite Battle Royale will support cross-play and cross-progression between PlayStation 4, PC, Mac, iOS, and eventually Android. This means players across devices can squad up, thanks guys, with friends and play together. We believe this is the future of games, the same game on all platforms. Console quality graphics and action. Play when you want, where you want. Starting Monday, March 12th, sign up at Fortnite.com for the invite event on iOS. Email invites will start rolling out soon after. When you are invited, you will receive an email with a link to download the game from the App Store. If you don't receive an invite right away, don't worry. We'll be adding more players regularly over the coming months. Players who receive invites from Epic will also get friend invite codes to share with others. To participate, you will need an internet connection and iOS 11 on at least an iPhone 6S/SE, iPad Mini 4, iPad Pro, iPad Air 2, iPad 2017 devices. That one caught me off guard, Andrea Renee.
I saw this coming.
Yeah, the crossplay and everything?
Well, the crossplay is a nice bonus. Epic Games has crossplay in pretty much all of their games, as at least in recent memory. So that's not surprising. They also have an exclusive relationship with PlayStation. Paragon was an exclusive relationship, and they had exclusive items during early access on specifically on PlayStation 4. So the fact that they are doing an exclusive console relationship between PC, mobile, and PlayStation did not surprise me at all. And I know that there's people who play Fortnite on their Xbox that are very disappointed by this news.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's never going to happen. It's just launching on PlayStation first. I have to imagine that they're going to allow it eventually because you can play PC, Xbox crossplay in other Epic games. Sure. So people forget that Tencent owns a majority stake in Epic, and Tencent runs one of the biggest mobile games out there, Arena of Valor. So they have the infrastructure and they have the technical prowess to be able to make Fortnite run on mobile. So the fact that people are coming out on social media and saying like, oh, how are you going to make Fortnite work?
Mark Lopez writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, not a Switch question, but praise the Lord, we have Smash. Anyways, while we were losing our goddamn minds about Smash, Fortnite announced it will be coming to mobile. Epic Games stated that it is the same beloved game everyone knows. So my question for Greg and Andrea is, can this be successful, and can it be engineered correctly for a touchscreen? Love your faces, Mark.
Yes, it's a short answer. I think we do need to look at the way they're going to implement touchscreen controls for building, since that seems to be the most involved mechanic in the game in Battle Royale. It is going to get a little cramped if you have a smaller screen for your mobile phone.
You're trying to play an iPhone, yeah.
Yeah, there's just a lot of information on the screen, but there's a lot of MOBAs that are on mobile right now, and that's also a lot of information to convey on the screen. Mm-hmm. So they might have to pare down some of the options, or you might have to, you know, set some hotkeys up and things like that, but I fully believe in Epic's ability to nail this.
Do you think they have to nerf PC players? Can, I mean, that's the whole thing when people talk about playing on PC, is that it's so precise. If I'm playing against a PC player, I mean, people talk about there being such a differential between a controller and mouse and keyboard. I would think now mouse and keyboard and touch is, I mean, how do you make it all work to not have someone have just getting their head kicked in left and right?
It's a great question. We've seen certain things built into other platforms that have crossplay with PC, auto aim assist and things like that. I have to imagine there will be looking at those options. I would like to hear from Epic about what they're actually going to do.
Yeah.
Because as you mentioned, like, a PC player is going to have a clear advantage over someone playing on their mobile device, particularly over the internet connection. If you're not on a stable Wi-Fi or have a stable, you know, cellular connection, and somebody is like hardwired into their PC.
Yeah. They're Google Fiber and they're just running at you. Yeah. It's such a brilliant business move, and it's just something that I wouldn't have expected it to work exactly. I would see, I mean, they're calling out crossplay, right? Cross progression makes the most sense to me in the fact that you have your Epic account. This is tied to everything. So that, yeah, now you can play Fortnite on your phone, but I would expect us all to be lumped in with phone players and have not a dumbed down version, but a simpler version of the game in terms of graphics and maybe options. But whatever I'm doing there is progressing to my account so that when I go home and turn on my PlayStation 4, I have extra currency to go in and get cosmetic items.
Absolutely.
It's the idea of playing with everybody that's like, wow, what the fuck?
I think that you touched on an important point. I think they're going to try to migrate all the mobile players to play against each other.
Sure.
Same as how they try to keep, you know, PS4 players in the same ecosystem. Mm. It's when the servers need more matchmaking, more people in the matchmaking pool that they're going to bring in from other sources. But they're not hurting for players in the Fortnite community.
Yeah, Fortnite's doing just fine. And it's such a smart business move. It's so impressive that if it's going to be the same game on mobile, and it just fills a need that I, you know, when we were coming back from DICE, I ran into our friends who do Layer Media. We've worked with them on a bunch of different stuff. They help shoot, oddly enough, the Layers of Fear video with us. And I walked over to them and they were all on their mobile devices. And I you know, did the Greg Miller thing where I act like I fell into them. And I was like, oh, sorry. And they're like, what? Oh, it's Greg. I'm like, what are you guys playing? And I looked down and they were all they're like, oh, PUBG. And I was like, I thought it's only out in China. Did you? And like, oh, the knockoff PUBG version. They're like, it's pretty good. And like now Fortnite is there and it's the full Fortnite suite. You imagine how many other people is that going to grab from PUBG's camp to play here, to have the same progression, to have the same thing, to be in one system, to have all your friends all the time. It's crazy. Mike writes in on the other side of this coin. He wrote in, of course, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can. It says, hi, Greg and Andrea. Epic announced that Fortnite Battle Royale will now have cross-play and cross-progression between PS4, PC, Mac, and mobile devices. As someone who mainly plays on Xbox, this is a bit disappointing. Epic has been pretty vocal in the past about Sony's refusal to allow PlayStation 4 and Xbox cross-play, even throwing shade at them at the Game Awards this past year, and even accidentally enabled it a couple of times. Rather than take the approach like Rocket League, which allows PlayStation 4 and PC cross-play, as well as Xbox and PC cross-play, they seemingly took a deal with Sony to totally exclude Xbox altogether. I get that PlayStation 4 has more players, but it'd have been nice to at least see a Rocket League situation. What are your thoughts on this deal and Sony continuing to hold some of these games back?
I think this Fortnite deal was done years ago. I think that Sony made a deal to bring early access to PlayStation 4 with exclusive items, and now that it's blown up, people are like, "Why? Well, what about Xbox?" And I think that probably ties into the deal that Sony did with Paragon, because Paragon was a PlayStation exclusive with Epic. So I think that you're maybe getting a little bit disappointed prematurely. Like I said before, I highly anticipate Xbox crossplay coming with PC eventually. This is probably just a timed exclusive thing for launch, and then maybe a few months down the road, hopefully by the end of the year, we'll see Xbox and PC cross progression for sure, and cross play anticipated.
I feel too, I that 100% correct. I think you're hitting the nail on the head that, yeah, this is just a deal for right now. And eventually, yes, they do a Rocket League and do it, because why not? They want you playing on everything and doing that. I think there's part of it too where I know a lot of people in the industry hold out hope that PlayStation and Microsoft figure it out. And I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I've heard enough people talk about that at different varying levels that it's like, all right, like, I hope they make it happen one day. I don't think that's what, you know, they're doing here with Fortnite. I'm like, we'll give it a little bit of time. I think it's totally like, oh, you're giving us money? Yes, we're into this thing. Because I'm sure there were conversations after what you're talking about, the Game Awards, of course, where, Donald Mustard took a shot there, right, when he had his chance. And then, of course, there were the experiences where they turned it on accidentally. I'm sure that leads to conversations where Fortnite's like, we really just want to do this. And like, well, how about we just do it here? What's your next big announcement? Let's pair with that. But down the road, I still think one day somebody will figure out a way to do it. Maybe. But PlayStation's just got to decide to play nice because they have all the units.
True.
Number three. Any other day, this would have been the lead story on this show. Days Gone has been delayed. Hashtag Greg was right. This is via US Gamer. Initially scheduled for a 2018 release, the official website for Days Gone now lists 2019 as its date of arrival. We reached out to Sony earlier today and a spokesperson confirmed the change. Quote, Days Gone will now be releasing in 2019, and we will keep you updated on the launch date. Zachary writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Greg and Andrea, do you think Days Gone is delayed based off community feedback or lack of excitement? Personally, I think the temperature of the room for Days Gone is lukewarm at best, and think this may be the reason Days Gone is delayed, to perhaps enhance the vision and scope of what this game will be. Even on Sony forums, the hype for this game is hardly there, and I think Sony may well know this. I always thought the idea for another zombie game from Sony was a strange decision, and think that they understand this game needs to separate itself from the zombie norm and become something much more unique, warranting this delay. Thanks and have a great weekend.
I think community feedback or lack of excitement has nothing to do with it. I'm sure this is a pure production decision.
We talked when this came up on the Detroit episode where we're talking about this and like, what does this mean for Spider-Man? And what does this mean for it? And I was very clear then of like, I'm sure you can find an interview where somebody says 2018. 2018 was never beaten over the head about this game. This game was never coming in 2018. Mm-hmm. And I understand, technically, yes, it's now a delay because a website somewhere said 2018, right? And I'm sure that you can find some interview with someone at Sony Bend, whether it be John Garvin, whether it be Eric, whether it be somebody else who's like, oh, 2018 or whatever, says this year, one kind of thing. I don't think that was ever, right? And so even your Days Gone will now be releasing in 2019 and we will keep you updated. When I was talking about this, the Beyond thing, I was just like, I don't think it was ever meant for that. I think this is a spring 2019 game. I think that's the perfect time for it. I think, and pointing at that, it's not even the what's the excitement level. It's what's this. It's the fact that we still haven't really seen that fucking game. You've seen two demos of it, mm-hmm. of which they're very clear. There's so much in this game. The motorcycle's a character. You're riding around this giant open world. All this stuff has happened. And it's to a point that I'd reached out to a source last year sometime where I had said, is this even hinting at a 2018 game or whatever? And they couldn't find anything and they didn't know. And it was like, I don't think this was ever meant to be a 2018 game. I don't think this is a real delay. I think if anything, this is a release date confirmation window of next year. And I think that makes sense. I think that's what's best for it. And I think as many of you worry about, I think that reads into something about The Last of Us Part 2. Sacco Joy wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey guys, with Days Gone officially being delayed to 2019, do you think that's going to make the marketing for the game a little tougher, considering The Last of Us Part 2 is probably due out next year as well? Stop jumping to fucking conclusions! That's me interjecting. Sorry, back to the letter. They're both thematically very similar, both set in the Pacific Northwest, at least we think so for The Last of Us, and are both Sony first-party tentpoles. Granted, they're both going to play very differently, but I do feel like them being in the same year will lead to them getting mixed up by people who might not be paying that close of attention. Maybe this means The Last of Us is farther away than we think. Ding, 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 ding. Thanks, guys. You're truly the best in the biz. I still don't believe The Last of Us is next year. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
I'm hoping for holiday 2019 because why would you show such a lengthy gameplay demo at PSX if that game is 2 years away? That seems like a mistake to me because the longer you draw out the PR cycle, the cooler people get. And granted, Naughty Dog kind of is an exception to the rule because people are always going to be hyped for their games because they are such a flagship studio.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that both of these games come out next year. If one comes out in February, right? Somebody tweeted to us saying, hey, Amazon updated my order to February 28th, 2019.
Yeah.
And I said, that's a Thursday. I don't think that's the right date.
It's probably my placeholder bullshit of like when, right? You know what I mean?
But I think spring 2019 would be a fine time for it to release. Look at Nintendo. They released Mario and Zelda, their two tent poles in the same year, and it didn't hurt them at all.
But thematically, right? I think there is an argument to that. If thematically, it is you in this post-apocalyptic gray world of zombies.
I think there's room for both.
PSX, did they show a gameplay demo of The Last of Us Part 2? Just cutscenes, right? That's all we've seen.
Right, I mean, but that was cutscenes or whatever in engine.
Yeah, no,
cinematics.
I
want to get bogged down in the semantics.
Well, not at all trying to like, yeah, fuck you.
No, everybody out there is doing the same thing, so it's okay that you brought it
okay.
up.
Okay, my point is the fact that there hasn't been the gameplay blowout of The Last of Us Part 2 makes me think the gameplay is still the thing that, I mean, granted, you know, there's two different teams, but there's teams working on different things. So Neil obviously is motion capturing this dog and doing all this stuff. That shows you how, I mean, there's still motion capturing stuff for that game. I have not seen the tweet of we are wrapped on mocap for this. Not that that's going to be the that's going to take years to finish. But I also think that the game itself, the gameplay, is being tweaked and worked on in environments and everything else. I don't think it's... I hope I'm wrong. I hope next year at holiday we're playing Last of Us Part 2. But I really could see it be 2020. And I could see 2020 be the year of Last of Us Part 2, Death Stranding, and here's the PlayStation 5. Like that, I think you could easily see that. And why have they shown so much of it? To get you hyped, to remind you why you need to buy a PlayStation 4, and what the fact that with Xbox, we're like, all right, cool. Sea of Thieves and State of Decay and Crackdown this year. But even that's all they got, kind of. But what's going on in the future, we don't know. Whereas like PlayStation's like, guess what? And this is a few years ago. The next 4 years, you know exactly what we're doing, kind of. And it's big shit and it's awesome shit. I don't know if that's right. You know, we talked about it recently on this show. I think this week even, again, where... Yesterday, maybe, of should this guy buy a PlayStation 4 Pro? How close are we to a PlayStation 5 announcement? And I was like, it's not this year. Don't worry about that. But then I was talking to Tim today when I was like, because I was looking through some more rumors on Gap, or, Gaff I look at, but then looking at Reset Era and really getting down into the nitty gritty. And I was pouring my coffee this morning. I turned to Tim, like, when do you think the PlayStation 5 is actually coming out? And he's like, I don't know, man. I could kind of see next year. And I was like, stick with me. You're shaking your head. No.
Okay.
And I still think 2020 is much more reasonable, and that's where it'll be. But with the Pro, with the Xbox One X, with the idea of we're changing the way generations work, and with that backwards compatibility filing, I really feel like, hey, everybody, here's the PlayStation 5 that's going to have exclusive games, but it's completely backwards compatible with everything you have right now. So you can buy this, and it's going to make your PlayStation VR better. It's going to play Last of Us Part 2. It's going to play Spider-Man. It's going to play whatever the hell else. It's going to play PlayStation 4 games, but it's going to have its own library. We're going to start building there for more. That's how they're definitely going to sell it when it comes to it. But if you did that in 2019, I don't know if that would be crazy. You know what I mean? It's just so...
I think that you need to remember it's not just Sony's decision. It's all of the partners that they're working with who publish on the platform. And it's all of their retail partners. It's developing a whole new set of boxes and SKUs and shelving and retail negotiations and agreements and getting all of the people up to speed on the new hardware infrastructure. Like it's a much bigger deal switching generations when you're going from PS4 to PS5. Than just adding in the Pro, because essentially the hardware is almost identical. It just has more processing power and a couple other bells and whistles.
Sure.
So I think it's farther out than you think. I would be...
I'm still saying 2020.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
I would be very, very shocked if we heard anything about PS5 other than rumors.
That's some, yeah, debug kits are
in,
going out.
In 2019.
It's just the fact of I still think of it as a jump from PS1 to PS2, PS2 to PS3, PS3 to PS4. Whereas I really feel like this is going to be a way more iterative thing of, all right, still running the same technology, it's just more processing power, and it's just more this, and it's that way of, for the first time ever in video games, well, yeah, not even the first time ever, because PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 4 Pro, Xbox and Xbox One X are similar, but being this thing of the soft switch, I'm like, cool, we're putting it out there. It's out there for consumers. The PlayStation 4 Pro is coming down in price, but basically, once they move those units, right, PlayStation 5 is all you can get. Like eventually, like there'll always be a cheaper thing. I don't know. It's interesting, and I feel like
But they're just now beginning to sunset the PS3.
Sure.
So I feel like that's indicative also of just
how far
they're
always
going to
have
these
10-year life cycles and shit like that they talk about.
There's still a fair amount of people playing actively on their PS3, which is kind of crazy to me.
Yeah.
But
more power to you. Do what you got to do. Good games up there. Infamous. Naughty Dog is making moves. This is number 4. Evan Wells, of course, from Naughty Dog, put up a statement talking about what happened in an all-hands company meeting recently. Neil Druckmann, friend of the show, is now vice president of Naughty Dog. Neil will continue as the creative director on The Last of Us Part 2. Meanwhile, Anthony Newman and friend of the show, Kurt Margenau, are the joint game directors on The Last of Us Part 2. Both Kurt and Anthony joined Naughty Dog during Uncharted 2 and have been instrumental in leading the design department and have been key contributors on our subsequent games. Evan says. Amelia Schatz and Richard Cambier are the lead designers that round out the extremely talented design department's leadership team. So congratulations to all of them. Glad to see Neil so confident Last of Us Part 2 he can just take giant promotions and not, you know. I'm sure he won't split his focus at all. Neil, don't fucking do this. Finish the goddamn game. Number 5! Valve is going to start shipping games again. This is via PC Gamer.
Half-Life 3.
Yeah, it's done. That's the one. There it is. At a presentation for upcoming Dota 2 themed card game Artifact at Valve's offices in Bellevue, Washington today, Gabe Newell reiterated that Valve is getting back into developing new games beyond its current roster of multiplayer titles. After talking about Valve's focus on Steam and hardware during the past several years, which he described as, quote, an investment in the future, Newell said, Artifact is the first of several games that are going to be coming from us. This quote continues. So that's sort of good news. Hooray! Valve's going to start shipping games again, end quote. That's games, plural. Artifact isn't the only game Valve is working on. In a January 2017 Reddit AMA, Newell did confirm that Valve was working on at least one fully-fledged single-player game. And the following month, in a roundtable interview with PC Gamer, Newell said that Valve is working on three big VR games. Today's statement doesn't make it 100% clear whether Valve has projects in development beyond these previously mentioned games, but it is a possibility. Quote, we aren't going to be talking about that about it today, Newell said, but sort of the big thing, the new era we have in our quiver really is our ability to develop hardware and software simultaneously. Moving on to the article, another quote. We've always been, and this is now I'm talking about Nintendo, we've always been a little bit jealous of companies like Nintendo, Newell said. When Miyamoto is sitting down and thinking about the next version of Zelda or Mario, he's thinking, what is the controller going to look like? What sort of graphics and other capabilities? We can introduce new capabilities like motion input because he controls both those things. No, he can introduce new capabilities like motion input because he controls both of those things. And he can make the hardware look as good as possible because he's designing the software at the same time. That's really going to take advantage of it. So that is something we've been jealous of, and that's something that you'll see us taking advantage of subsequently. Go get him, Valve. Do something.
I really just want Portal 3.
Oh, man, I could go for more Portal. Are you going to play that Portal Bridge Connector game, or did you play it?
I have not played it, no.
Yeah, no. I got the code. But Monster Hunter, I just can't stop, you know what I mean?
I know, it's a problem.
Yeah, just get me back to GLaDOS. Number six, Bethesda's got an Austin office now. This is their statement. Bethesda Game Studios, a ZeniMax Media company, today announced that it has expanded development capacity for future titles by welcoming Battlecry Studios in Austin, Texas, as part of Bethesda Game Studios. Bethesda Game Studios Austin is staffed, that's what they're not going to be called, by a core team of seasoned industry veterans with experience developing AAA games. The studio will be managed by industry veteran Doug Mellencamp as studio director. Quote, we're excited to join Bethesda Game Studios and look forward to working together on some of the industry's most exciting new games, said Mellencamp. Austin's incredible game development scene and talent will also allow us to push our games further than fans have imagined. Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what they do with that studio, because I thought Battlecry had some potential, but it was...
What have they done before?
Battlecry was the game that they were working on for Bethesda. Did you ever play it at any of the preview events? No. So it was a really interesting idea. It was like a arena fighting game, squad-based, where it's all knives. There's no gunpowder. So it's all blade weapons, which was really cool, and they had a really cool locomotion system with... the rope thing.
Grappling hook.
Yes, that's it. Grappling hook. And it looked cool, but it's been about a year now since there were rumors from an employee at Battlecry Studios that the game has been canceled internally.
Oh.
They've never come forward and actually officially confirmed that, but okay. Seeing how long it's been since we've heard anything from that game, I have to imagine that those rumors are accurate.
Okay.
But it'll be something to watch. I mean, we talked about on the show just last week, I think, about how we don't know what Bethesda has.
That E3 conference.
Down the
we got another one on Sunday. Let's get ready. And final story is a short one. The Indie Mega Booth is back at PAX East. The 7th annual PAX East showcase lineup was announced today. It's 100 games created by 93 different independent game developers from teams located in 21 different countries, including Guacamelee 2, which, of course, Drinkbox. We love them to death. Friends of the show. Good game. We're excited for it. We assume. Monster Prom, which you guys played at What's Good, I know, and liked a lot.
Oh, yeah. A really fun dating sim.
And then The Messenger, which, of course, full disclosure, my wife is working on as a brand stuff. But, of course, I was excited about beforehand because it looks like Ninja Gaiden and it goes from 8-bit to 16-bit, and it's really cool. That, of course, PAX East, April 5th through the 8th, 2018. Andrea and I will be there. Kind of funny, first annual Chicken Wing Wing Ding is Thursday night, 7:30.
It's going to be great.
BYOW, bring your own wings.
And we got to get a big vat of moist toilets.
We're going to need a lot of things. This is going to be the first time I ever actually have to really pre-plan what I'm bringing and doing at this thing. Do you got a What's Good panel?
Yes, we do.
When's that?
It is Friday at 3 p.m.
Cool.
In the Arachnid Theater, I believe.
Okay, good. I have a Friday panel too, but I'm not sure if I've confirmed or announced that, so I won't say anything about that. For now, I'm going to kick it over to Drafting Dave, who wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hey, Greg and Andrea, I just wanted to give a shout out to MeUndies. I know it may sound a bit silly, but they can truly save lives, or change lives, I apologize. I've been spending a lot of time in the hospital lately visiting my granddad, who was the first person to introduce me to video games. Having a comfortable pair of undies make a big difference when you're sitting in hospital chairs for the majority of your day. But it wasn't until my granddad had unfortunately switched to hospice care that I realized how impactful simple comforts could be. My granddad has always been a character, so when he commented on my MeUndies and asked if he could have a matching pair, I thought it was just his sense of humor. Inheriting some of his wit, I decided it would be a good laugh to surprise him with an actual matching pair of MeUndies. I was taken aback by how genuinely happy he was when they were revealed, as we both started to tear up and have a good laugh. The next day he motioned me over to tell me a secret. Apparently he had managed to convince one of the nurses to fit him with the newly bought MeUndies. I think they knew his time was coming and figured what the hell. As I leaned closer to hear him whisper, he said, "I can't wait to see what my matching," I'm sorry, I'm getting choked up. "I can't wait to see what matching my undies will be next week." This is a typo. "I can't wait to see what matching me undies will get next month. But if I wanted to know what games we could enjoy together right now, where would I go? Hope you have a great Friday, Drafting Dave." Andrea, tell him.
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
In a completely unsanctioned move, because it's already been 50 minutes of this show, yikes. I'm going to tell you the list is brought to you by MeUndies. That was not connected. It was just one of the normal walk-ins he wanted to do. Catch you off guard. Make you freak out. But now I'm going to put the ad in here because I don't know if we're actually going to get the other reader mail other than the reader mail I read during the Rover Report. You want to look good in your underwear and be comfortable, right? Don't sacrifice style or comfort. Check out MeUndies. They're the perfect balance of comfortable fit. Each and every month, they have new exciting prints that arrive at your door in a fun bag. As you know, I love them. I wear them every day. I threw in my other underwear. I like these so much. They're soft, and I like them. Thank you all for writing in to tell me that Model or something like that. I don't know. I didn't correct it, but I saw your things. People are mad about how I'm saying it, about some of the technology, but it all boils down to the underwear are really soft and they feel really good and they make other underwear feel bad. So you buy these, you keep getting them. MeUndies adventurous prints and designs are limited edition and new patterns are released every few weeks on a rolling basis. You get a 100% satisfaction guarantee. MeUndies guarantees you will love their undies or your money back. MeUndies has an exclusive offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies, you get 20% off and free shipping. MeUndies is so confident, like I said, they have that 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't like them, they'll get a full refund. This is a no-brainer. Get 20% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you will ever own. You get your 20% off and your first pair, free shipping, and that satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. That's MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. Now, I'll tell you what came to the digital mom and grop shops. I brought a lunch, yes, that's right. Out today! I was like, wait, what is this? Out today, you can have Mario be your car on the Google Maps app now through March 17th. You get in there, you download it. It's Mario in a Mario Kart, and he tracks you on Google Maps, and it's very cute, and I love it. One-eyed Kokuth comes to Xbox One, PS4, and Switch. The Darwin Project is on Xbox One. Train Sim World Founders Edition is on Xbox One. Flint Hook is on Switch. Have you played Flint Hook?
I have not.
Everyone tells me I need to play it now that it's on Switch, and I will. Spy Chameleon comes to Switch. And Turtle Pop Journey to Freedom comes to Switch. Cool, Greg, I'd like you to review that. Turtle Pop Journey to Freedom. That sounds like a game you'd play on Switch. New dates for you. Tennis World Tour takes to the court on Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, PS4, and PC, May 22nd. Hello Neighbor comes to PlayStation 4 this summer. And then the Sea of Thieves final beta starts today. Andrea put this one in. The Sea of Thieves final beta is available now and will run until 2 a.m. Pacific time on Sunday, March 11th. In addition to the Gold Hoarders quest available in the closed beta, the team has enabled Merchant Alliance voyages for the first time, giving players an entirely new way to play. In addition, pirates have the chance to come across occupied skeleton forts, enabling new and intense emergent gameplay opportunities. That's next week, right? Sea of Thieves?
March 20th.
So 2 weeks then. It's coming up fast, though.
Yes.
All right. You excited? You gonna play it?
Oh yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm probably going to jump into the beta to see what the new voyages are.
To get your feet wet?
Oh,
see, because they're pirates.
My feet are already wet. Yeah. I played a lot of this game already.
Do you put the hat on? Like a pirate hat?
I don't have a pirate hat, but I do have an eye patch. And we have some tattoo sleeves that we got at E3 and some buttons.
Andy Cortez! Andy!
Oh my gosh.
Do you need a pen and paper or can you remember stuff?
I'm so good.
You can come on in. Sea of Thieves coming out. We got 2 weeks till release. I think we might not get review code next. That's why I was confused. We might get review code next week. Go back in there.
But the game doesn't go live until the servers are live.
Why would they give me a review code ahead of time then?
This is a good question.
I'll hit them up and know. I need you to go in there and get Amazon. Order up pirate hats. Pirate eye patches. A live parrot.
Okay. I'll bring you some of the tattoo sleeves.
She'll bring us tattoo sleeves.
How many parrots?
I feel like there's only one usually per ship, right? I feel like the captain usually has the parrot on him. You know what I mean? I'll leave it up to you.
I have a pirate costume already.
She's got a pirate costume.
Okay.
You need to get a party mode on the books for this.
Sounds great.
All right, good. Just making sure you knew.
Sea of Thieves?
Yeah.
Fortnite? Rainbow Six Siege infection mode thing
or
whatever.
Can I get in the Rainbow Six one?
Get your butt in here.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that was easy. I don't know why you keep dodging Monster Hunter, but no big deal.
Who's dodging?
We can do that too.
No, him. No, him. Oh. Not you. Him.
Hey.
He every time he says we can do it, and then we never do it. It's like, hey, there's a game everybody's interested in but Andy, so now we don't get to play it for party mode.
Well, you know, we lost a lot of footage the last time we recorded.
That sucks, right? At Sundown. Mm. We got to do At Sundown again. At Sundown was a fun game.
I didn't realize we lost that until way later.
Deals of the day. Top 5 Bananas wrote in with the deal of the day. He says, not only is there a Square Enix publisher sale, there is also a big flash sale on PSN. Me, I'm finally going to listen to big old Greg Miller and pick up Valkyria Chronicles Remastered. Thanks for all you do, and keep engaging in Barnyard Foul Coitus. Then, Andrew added one as well. For anyone yet to jump into the dystopian world of Nier Automata, a 50% discount is available to those who purchase from the PlayStation Store until March 20th and Steam until March 14th. Now let's see if a reader mail, there's anything I want to shout out here. We're running late. You got things to do. I got things to do.
You can't keep Cisco waiting.
I can't. No. Remember, of course, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, 2 o'clock, me, Kevin, and Cisco. Are you in your plane too eventually?
Yeah, I'm going to jump in.
Okay. But you're going home, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's do this one. This is not a normal Kind of Funny Games daily question. Nibrock Bottom, we'll say, wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I'm about to get back into the dating scene, and I would like to find someone who is also a gamer so that we can share this hobby together. That being said, I don't want to limit myself and miss out on someone special. What would be the best way to go about doing this? Just to be clear, a non-gamer is by no means a deal breaker, just a preference. Side question, how do you balance time with gaming and your significant others?
It's a great question.
Yep.
I'm very grateful that I get to play games with my significant other and that we enjoy playing games separately as well. And there's an understanding from both of us that he has to play certain things for his job and I have to play certain things for my job. And so we're in a very unique situation, much like you and Jen are.
Correct.
That, you know, there's an understanding that games will be played every week.
Right.
And people who don't work in the video games business don't necessarily have that same flexibility. Also, people who have other family obligations,
sure,
maybe parents are taking care of or kids they're taking care of, just have more responsibilities. I'd say it's good if you can find somebody to game with because it makes it easier and you're never having to make excuses for wanting to do
the hobby. They want
to
do the same thing, right? And that's, you know, like this is the first time with Monster Hunter really that Jen and I's gaming interests have lined up. Where it's like, oh, here's something for us to play together. I should say since we got married and she moved here. Where it's like, oh, cool. Like, we're playing the same things. We're doing the same things. But outside of that, the two TVs in the living room are, well, she wants to watch something and I put on headphones and play whatever I want to play or something.
Yeah.
Or we're both playing different things, which has happened before as well.
Absolutely. And John watches a lot of stuff on his iPad Pro on the couch if I'm using one of the TVs.
Yeah.
We do have two televisions, but we don't always use both of them. I would say if you don't want to limit who you're, you know, looking at potentially dating, be open to maybe introducing some very casual games to people who have not gamed before.
Sure.
We've talked about this on the show too. things like games from Telltale, which are easier to get into.
More cinematic too, right?
Mobile games. Yeah, games that don't necessarily require first-person point of view or even third-person point of view. Things that are a little bit simpler to use with the controller. Getting them accustomed to using a gamepad. Yeah, there's lots of ways to go about it.
And if you're looking to date a gamer, quote unquote, I always feel like it just comes down to where you're meeting people, right? Like, I think going to a PAX, a PSX, a Kinda Funny Live, like, you're usually guaranteed to meet people there that share at least an interest in gaming, maybe not the specific PlayStation experience. You're going to find a bunch of people like PlayStation. That's easy enough for you.
It's true.
I'm sure if you went to this fucking Dota convention up north, they'd all be WASDA, and they'd all be like, hey, what's the best mouse wheel for Dota? Fucking dorks. Jeremy writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Greg, am I missing something? What's the deal with the Troy Baker hate? Haha, I can't tell if it's real on animosity or just a joke.
It's a joke.
You've probably done this before, but care to explain? Troy Baker, one of Kinda Funny's biggest supporters. He was my final Up at Noon interview ever. He's been on Kinda Funny a million times. He's just a very close personal friend. So when I talk about him in Game Sense, I usually just give him shit. Here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you something secret. I fucking hate a lot of people in video games, and you never hear me talk the real public shit about them. If you hear me talk shit about somebody, it usually means I like them quite a bit, that I know they can roll with the punches.
Greg,
like that scumbag Tim Schafer.
He doesn't actually talk shit about anybody.
Oh, no, I don't talk shit. I don't.
You are a very kind, nice person.
That's the thing. You know, if you think about the people I don't mention, they're the ones that really I have something to say about.
We talk at length about Tim Schafer on the podcast this week because Alana tells a story about how she and Marty were drinking at Dice this year, and she was like, I'm just going to go up and talk to Tim Schafer right now.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm way too drunk to do this, but I don't care.
Oh, was that her like first time actually meeting Tim?
Yeah. And then Simer told the story about how she went up and talked to Tim Schafer. And then I was like, I told the story about how I did the women's march with Tim and his family last year. So we have a whole segment about Tim Schafer.
Well, it's because everybody has that story with Tim Schafer, I feel like, right? Or the first time you meet him, because you've known the name forever.
Yeah.
And then you just how do you talk to somebody like that? What do? You know what I mean?
Hello.
Yeah,
it's that easy.
No, I remember my time. It was after some IGN event. I think it was the one where we did the we took over 21st Amendment. I think it was like the Sasquatch beef jerky whatever sponsorship party thing. I don't know what the hell it was.
Okay.
But I walked. It was Christine was talking to him when we were still working together and still dating. And I walked over and I was like, oh, that's Tim Schafer. And I'm like, I know that like he means a lot to Steimer or whatever. And he's like, I want to impress this guy. I've never actually talked to Tim Schafer. He's funny. I know he makes these funny games. I want to be funny when I don't know. So I went over there and joined the conversation. I was like, oh, hey, I'm going. And he said something. And for some reason, what I was like, I'm going to respond with a Seinfeld reference. When I tried to say, well, why does Radio Shack ask for your number when you buy batteries? Which is a funny Seinfeld line, of course. I'm sure you remember. Emblazoned in everybody's mind.
Totally.
And instead it came out, well, why does Radio Shack batteries fall? And Tim just looked at me and I just looked at him. And like I said nothing and he went back to the conversation. I was like, well, that guy will never be my friend again. And then jump ahead a few years later and he was in Kinda Funny's spare bedroom wearing a Venom mask hosting the morning show. It's time to squat up. This is where one of you goes to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in video games. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Devon needs help on the PlayStation 4. His PSN name, Dr. Shavargo 3. DrShavargo 3. I want to play Rainbow Six Siege with some best friends so I don't feel anxious about the possibility of getting purposely team killed. Thanks. Everybody, hit up Dr. Shavargo 3. Remember, of course, this is in the time codes we do for you down there. You can get them all over the place. Yeah, you need to put the name in there. Kevin usually puts the name in there so that people can find it. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Well, Kevin just does what Kevin does. Maybe it's not in this episode. It will be forever ongoing. Okay. Yeah, just copy it out of my document and put it in there as the not PSN hit. Squad up.
Put everything there, everything they said.
No, just the PSN name. That's all you gotta do. Or whatever name it is at the time. Andrew.
Yes.
That's another week in the books. Another Kinda Funny Games Daily wrap up. What are you doing this weekend? Oh, that's right. Getting my wife super drunk.
Yeah. We're gonna go drink champagne in wine country.
Nice.
We're gonna pick up our quarterly subscriptions, wine subscriptions. So
yeah,
that's good. She's gonna get her Magnum that she missed up for the holiday. She told me she was really sad about it.
Sure. No, she'll get
She told me that because of you, she can't get a full sparkling shipment. She has to get half still, half sparkling.
That's right.
Because you don't drink sparkling wine. What's up with that?
I haven't had one I like a lot.
What?
I feel free.
You didn't like any of the Chandon wines?
No, I like the Chandon wines fine.
Okay. So I'm confused. You just said you haven't had one you
like. I mean, I like. Well, hold on. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Holding the
Walk
phone.
It back a bit. All okay, right. This okay. is what Jen's telling you. I like red wines, I say. I would like some red wines.
Okay.
And I want that. So that's what happens. That's the feedback I've given her. Except for, wait, where was the one? Were you with us when she got the one that was like, oh no, that was in Montreal. We went to Joe Beef. And they keep bringing by awesome wines, right? And we're just like, whatever you want. And so eventually they came by and they must have said sparkling or something because they're talking French most of the time.
Yeah.
And they brought it by and gave it and Jen sampled it. She goes, mm. She's like, oh, it's awesome. It kind of tastes like kombucha. And I was like, uh-oh.
Gross.
And I poured it and drank it. And I was like, no, this is, I don't want to drink any of this. And that's when I just started sobering up.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. I'll send some great sparklings back with her. And then we're going to try to find a good spot to get some bread because the one that you tweeted me about. Yeah. Their visitor center is no longer open.
But you can order online. So I'm just going to order a bunch online, I think. And then we got to plan. We got to pick a night for you guys to come over and cook and stuff, too, like we were talking about.
I'm down. Let's do it.
Let's look at the calendar before you leave. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week down on Friday platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen to it later on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify, no matter where you get it. Thank you so much. If you enjoy the show, please show your appreciation by going over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a few bucks. Get a few bunch of perks for a week. That's new. That's a new one I'm working on, but I'll get you there. I'll get there eventually. Have it polished.
You're not trying to skip your wrong, are you?
Fuck, I was, yeah. Well, now I got Monster Hunter on the brain. Again, if you're watching live, we're about to go play it with Cisco. What did we get wrong today? If you watch live, we ask you to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later.
Lucar Wolf says, Super Smash Bros. For Wii U released on November 21st, 2014. The date you gave, September 13th, 2014, was Super Smash Bros. For Nintendo 3DS. Thank you. I thought I just said 2014, but if I made that distinction... My apologies. He says also you missed Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy is coming not only to Switch but also to PC and Xbox One on the same date. And yes, it supports 4K on Xbox One X.
Next.
Quest Mode says, oh no, this is a nitpicky one. It's about Kevin listing the hosts and not listing people as hosts and co-hosts correctly. So we're just going to let that one go.
We're all hosts and co-hosts.
That one is also... I'm skipping over that one. This one is important. Capitalist Pig. Tencent owns a 40% share of Epic Games. Well, that is a large chunk. It's not enough to meet the definition of majority stockholder that Andrew stated. It's important to make a distinction because it still means the other 60% can still override. However, I found stories that say they have 48.4%, not just 40%. So that's obviously much closer to 50. But yes, important to note, not over that magical 50% threshold become majority. That said, they still have a huge amount of influence, and not that they're influencing the decisions that Epic's making, but rather they have a motivation to help Epic optimize Fortnite for mobile, because when Epic makes money on Fortnite, Tencent makes money on Fortnite. That was my point. Okay. So do. Oh, interesting to note, Soup Boy says Tencent owns a portion of Epic, but they also released PUBG Mobile in China. So Tencent is making money on both PUBG and Epic on mobile, but they don't have distribution rights outside of Asia for PUBG Mobile.
The double dip.
I mean, they're double dipping in a lot of things.
Sure, get that pay. Get that money. Smurfs?
Is that Smurfs?
La, 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 la.
Mattman94 says Fortnite has crossplay between PC and PS4 right now, but only if a PS4 player joins a squad with a PC player. The wording in the mobile announcement makes it seem like this will be the same for mobile crossplay.
Okay.
They say this means players across devices can squad up with friends and play together. So you won't be match made. You have to be in a squad with somebody on a different platform in order to play together, is what that sounds like. But if you're playing like solo queue, they won't dump a mobile player into a vat of PC players.
Gotcha. Okay.
You have to opt in. So according to Young Neil says, Epic confirmed that you need to opt into crossplay. So you can specifically say on your mobile device, I only want to play with mobile people.
Okay.
To keep it fair, you know.
Of course, somebody has to.
All right. Do-do-do-do. This is all about Fortnite. Interesting. I don't know if that's a you're wrong, though. Oh, King of the North says, in addition to deals of the day, eBay is running a 20% off deal on everything until 8 o'clock Pacific time tonight.
How the hell does that work? Is it eBay auctions? How are they going to take or is it they doing like eBay store stuff?
It's everything. And I Wario64 tweeted the details of the deal if you guys want to follow him on Twitter. And I retweeted it.
Puts out a lot of deals.
The cap is the most amount of money you can get discounted is $100, though.
Okay.
Worth noting. Oh, Toby Blue says Greg falsely stated that Tim Schafer was on the morning show back in the old spare bedroom. He actually appeared on Colin Gregg Live, as it was then called.
Which is the morning show. I do not take that one.
Okay. That's right. It.
That's I can refer to the current morning show as Colin Gregg Live, or I can refer to the Colin Gregg Live from the past as the morning show. That is superfluous, and I demand you give us a dollar on Patreon. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great weekend. Play some video games. Find Andrea in Wine Country. And until next time, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.